Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Jarrett Miller.
Tuesday, February 4th, 2014, and this is Rated G Radio for your Tuesday night. I'm your host, Garrett Miller. For the next hour, we're going to have fun and excitement talking about the headlines of the day, stuff that's going on in my day. And if you want to call in and talk about yours, the hotline's open. It's ready for you, 323-657-1493, 323-657-1493. Call, press 1, and I'll bring you on the air. And if you are live tonight, you can also go into the Blog Talk chat room. I'm there. I had a user in the chat room with me until the show started, and as soon as I started talking, they left. So maybe they're having technical difficulties or they're just trying to get it to show up with their name. Either way, I don't bite. And if you want to be chatting on Facebook while the show is live, of course, I think probably most of you are already friends with me on Facebook. If you're not, if you're listening new for the first time or you just haven't friended me before, you'll find me on Facebook. .com, of course, /TheGarrettMiller, so you can friend me there. And as I tell everybody, if you friend me, I'll always accept the friend request. If you start posting weird stuff or making inappropriate comments or things like that, then I block you, but, you know, I give you the benefit of the doubt as the show gets started. You can also find me on Twitter at Garrett's Hot. It looks like Garrett Shot, but it's Garrett's Hot. Because somebody took Garrett Miller and was like, who in the world would have my name? You know, apparently there's a lot of people out there. And so I was one day going, okay, I need to hurry up and get a Twitter name. And so I was being a smart ass, and so that's what I picked. So that's my Twitter handle, Garrett's Hot. Follow me there. And of course, you can find me live every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 East. And we cover the headlines, news of the day, all of that good stuff. So this is day two of week one of not having any TV. Or not having any, you know, satellite or cable TV in the first time in 300 years. And I'm not minding it so much. You know, I think I told the story last night about we decided at the house to get rid of the DirecTV at the first of the month just as a cost savings, you know, because I really don't watch that much TV. The people at the house don't watch that much TV, and we're like, do we really want to spend $100 a month on DirecTV for, you know, maybe two or three shows that we might watch throughout the course of the month? It was an expensive proposition. It was like you could go buy a DVD of the show for less money. So we decided to cut it off. I was telling a story last night that, you know, I got through Saturday, and Saturday was tough because I go to bed on Saturday night, and I usually have TV on just as white noise as I'm, you know, either chatting on Facebook or playing my, you know, stupid iPad games or whatever the case is. But I've got some noise in the background. We got the ding-dongs down the street wanting to have a block party of some kind. And, you know, so you hear that, and I'm like, oh, holy cow, come on. You know, it's 8 o'clock. Don't these people ever go to bed? So I turn on the fan, and I turn on the bird machine, and, you know, you can still hear all of this nonsense. And it's, you know, so I'm sitting there going, I think I need to, you know, make sure I've taken my Benadryl so I'll sleep tonight. So barely made it through Saturday. So Sunday, as I was telling you yesterday, if you didn't catch the show, Marcus decides that he's going to, you know, go get this HD antenna thing. And I always thought this was a bunch of crap, to be quite honest. Because remember when cable or the FCC required that, you know, people get either free or discounted HD antennas? And I'm thinking, there is no way this possibly works. Because I remember back in the day when you had rabbit ears on your TV and the reception was so bad and you had to hold it just a certain way or stand on your tippy toes with your right arm in and your left arm out. You had to do the hokey pokey and shake it all about, and hopefully you got, you know, channels CBS, NBC, and ABC. So I'm upstairs doing my workout on Sunday morning, and I hear Marcus coming down the stairs up from the other side of the house, and I said, oh, Marcus, you know, any chance, you know, you can kind of figure out how to hook up the TVs in the house? He says, yeah, no problem. After I get back from church, I'll get them all hooked up. And I'm thinking, thank God, because even if it's crappy reception, I'll at least have TV noise that I can have in the background when I need something in the background. So he comes back, gets it all hooked up, and it looks brilliant. And my only thought, except for the fact that I haven't watched live TV and I've always relied on the DVR for at least the last 6, 7, 8 years, is that holy cow, why didn't I do this about 300 years ago and saved all this money off of stupid, you know, DirecTV? And by the way, so I'm going to get on a little soapbox here for just a second. So last year when roommate Marcus moved into the house, called up DirecTV and says, we want to get another DVR for that bedroom or, you know, a receiver or something like that. And they said, great, it's going to cost you $3 million. And we said, fine. And then they sent it out and we hooked it up, and Marcus had DirecTV, you know, ever since. So when David goes to cancel this thing a couple of weeks ago, they said, well, you know, we're going to be dicks here at DirecTV, and you're going to have to pay a $10 million fine for canceling, you know, with under 2 years. Well, okay, you won't care about this as listeners, but I'm just going to kind of tell you the story. When we ordered the box for Marcus's room, we knew that the lease was up here at this house this month, February of 2014. We knew that we were going to have to move. So there is absolutely no way, because, you know, there's just no way possible. There's no way that we would have ordered a DirecTV box knowing that there's going to be a two-year commit for that single box, even though the other three rooms in the house that had TVs already were set up and fine. So, you know, he runs it up the flagpole, and everybody's like, well, we can't help you, and we can't help you, and you're going to have to pay the $10 million fine, and, you know, you suck, and too bad. So I'm just going on record by saying, DirecTV, you could score a major coup with every single customer that you have by handling that completely differently. You should say, we're very sorry to see you go. Make sure to send the boxes back, and we can't wait to have you come back to DirecTV the moment you can do it. And let it be done. They're getting their equipment back. You know, I think they charged like $200 or it was well over $100 for the box that went into Marcus's room. So, you bought the equipment anyway. And now they're trying to hose you on the leasing of that or their service for that period of time. So when you want to cancel, they want to hose you on the cancellation policy for DirecTV. I think that's wrong. And so now David's going through this, he's going to file a claim with the Better Business Bureau and all this other nonsense, all to avoid paying a stupid cancellation fee that would never have been agreed to if we would have known that it would have been 2 years versus a 1 year or any type of service agreement. So anyway, that's my little soapbox. If you've got a story that you want to share about a bad customer service experience, call in 323-657-1493. We'll commiserate, talk about what happened and, you know, how you got that resolved. So, again, welcome to two new people in the chat room. I've got Anita in Oregon. I've got guest. I always like it when people join the chat room. And a blog talk doesn't make you put in a name. It just says, oh, if you want to join the chat room, here you go. And then unless you tell it, you know, hi, my name is so-and-so, you're just logged in as guest. So, hi, guest. It's good to see you there. Let's see. In the news today. So, here's one thing that I've been posting on Facebook a lot. And I've had people say, thanks for posting that. It really made my day. I'm going to tell you a little secret. A lot of times I'm posting stuff mainly because I need it as a reminder to myself for something else I need to do. A lot of times it has to do with, like, music or talking about this or that or the other thing. Or sometimes it's motivational type of thing. So a few weeks ago, my dear friend Rebecca of the I Am Rebecca show, you can hear it every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. She does a 90-minute show most weeks. And she's an intuitive psychic. She'll take your call about, you know, what about my job? You know, should I move? What about my pets? What about my relationship? What about blah, 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 you know, whatever. She doesn't want to talk to dead people or, you know, things like that. But if you have a question about what you should do, she'll give you an intuitive reading for free. So we're talking offline and was just, you know, telling her some of the things that are going on in my world outside of radio here. And she says, you know, just remember this, attract and allow. And I love that, attract and allow. So if you think about it, you know, it's like you're going to bring these good things into your life, but what happens if these good things start coming to you, but you don't let them in? You're not allowing it. So you might have all these great things coming to you, and, you know, possibilities are endless, but you keep slamming the door on them. I had a little bit of that going on. She goes, just, you know, attract and allow. And I'm like, I like that. I got to write it down. So what did I do? I posted it on Facebook. Well, that goes hand in hand with another phrase that I love, and I first heard it from my dear friends. I don't know them. You know, I've talked to them on the radio here, but Derek and Romaine from Sirius XM 109. So Romaine's big thing a year or two ago was to always say, believe and receive. You know, I believe it's going to happen, and I'm ready to get it. So really, since the first of the year, I think pretty much every day or every couple of days, I'm putting note to self, believe and receive, attract and allow. And hang on to what you do want in your life. Today's a great day for spring cleaning. Make room, open those doors, and get ready. Sounds easy, right? Boy, if it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. Well, you know, it kind of is. So I've been posting that, and I get great feedback. And, you know, every day I get, you know, 50, 60, 70 people liking that comment. And some people say, oh, you know, it's, you know, such this and that. And I've had some people say, is it okay to do that with people too? Like, it's best to do it with people. You know, start with that. You know, clean out your closet later on. You know, because metaphorically, you can use it for anything that you want. And so, you know, part of the things that I've been writing down on my goal list and my vision boards and things like that are, you know, different ways to help bring income into my world. Last year I made some, you know, kind of, I don't say major changes, but, you know, mentally they were major changes. You know, organizationally I stayed, you know, with the same company, just report and work for a different office. But mentally it was very freeing, very liberating, and it was a necessary jump for me, and loved it. But the same boat, you know, part of my psyche was like, I need to reinvent myself, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do the other thing. Did a little bit of it. But part of it was, you know, making sure people knew that, you know, hey, I'm ready for new referrals, I'm ready for more opportunities, and I believe it's all going to happen. You know, so there's a little bit of believe and receive, attract and allow. So this, I don't know, past week and a half, something like that, I've really been just kind of been extra grateful for the referrals that I'm getting and things that are coming through my email. I think I've shared with you most of the business that I do is off of referral. I don't do cold calling. Cold calling is not my style. For the people that can cold call and are effective at it, God bless you. I hate it. There's nothing worse. And I've got it. And I'll even tell you, I went to a Dale Carnegie cold calling class here in Orange County about 10 years ago, way before I moved to California. They flew me out. The company flew me out from Phoenix to Orange County to take the class. Out of a room of sales, quote-unquote professionals, probably about 150 people there, I was voted by the entire room. I had the best cold calling script that I wrote while I was there. And it goes something like, my name is Garrett Miller. I work for United Van Lines. I represent companies like ABCDEFG who are looking for technology solutions, cost reduction, blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's your elevator pitch. You do it in 30 seconds or less. Okay, so I've got a pitch. I can cold call. Hate it. You know, I would rather have, you know, root canal without Novocaine. I mean, really. The business that I build tends to be off of people I've met at networking events or clients of clients of clients. You know, I have a client that I work with. They love the work that I do. And they'll say, you need to work with Garrett. And then I work with them, and they love the service. And then you need to work with, you know, and so on and so forth. It's like that hair conditioning commercial. You know, you tell two friends and two friends and two friends. That's what I've done for 12 years. And before that, when I worked for the phone company back in Arizona, it was, you know, the regional company, so I served, you know, 14 states, I never took any inbound calls, because after about a year, 2 years of taking inbound calls, my client base was so huge that every day at 7 a.m. when I'd walk in the door, I already had 30, 35 voicemails. Most of the time it was in order waiting to be placed by customers who knew that if they worked with me, I wasn't going to screw it up. And in the telephone company, getting things programmed at the time, I have no reference for how things are done now, but at the time, having somebody who knew what they were doing would write the order right the first time, get it programmed right the first time, and help their business be successful on the first call, I hate to say it, it's kind of a rare commodity, especially for a home-based business or a small business that had to rely upon, you know, people to help their business grow. It wasn't like IBM saying, I'd like to put in another telephone line. You know, IBM doesn't do that. IBM says, I'd like to put in 5,000 telephone lines or whatever the case may be. So when I was helping these people with their home-based business or their small business, they had nobody else to call. They had nobody else to rely upon. And if the phone or internet or their cell phone wasn't ringing, they weren't making money. And so it was important that they had, you know, someone that they could rely upon. And I loved it. I made a lot of money helping these people the way it should be, you know. So in the moving business, you know, it's been the same thing. You help one person, and, you know, you may have to work really hard to get that first order, but you get that first order, and you delight them, and you treat them right, and you bill them right, and you do what you say you're going to do, and then magically you have, you know, future business. So that's how my entire you know, 12, 13 years, what's coming on 13 years, has been with the company, is based on referrals. And so today, I was at a sales meeting with our sister company called Total Transportation Logistics, TTL. It's the largest Mayflower agency in the world. It's right here in Southern California. Our company owns it. They do millions and millions and millions of dollars of business a year. And two brilliant ladies really lead the charge for that. And they're always Mayflower's number one salesperson, you know, but it's really a sales team. It's Norm and Lori. Two of my very good friends, love them to death. And so I'm sitting in the sales meeting. Everything's going fantastic. And it's, you know, these type of meetings where you have a motivated leader like Bob Hicks, you've got some energized salespeople, you've got, you know, some headquarter people from Unigroup headquarters, Gary Nosko, he's a sales manager. And one of the things that the company made very clear is that we're going away from the TTL name. We're going away from the Mayflower name. We're answering our phone. We're rebranding our trucks. We're doing everything called Unigroup Logistics. They went through all the rhyme and reason of all of this. And the only thing that served to do for me was to get me excited about what they were doing. Because, you know, they went through the, here's why we're doing it, you know, the history has shown this, X, Y, Z, and market research and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, so we have our corporate person, Gary, he goes through all of his stuff. We have a little break, come back in the afternoon, and we start talking about, you know, what the local organization is doing and why they're doing it. And if you ever need to just have an opportunity to get pumped up, sit in a meeting with Mr. Bob Hicks, and he will do that for you without even knowing that he's doing it. He's just that good. He's got a loud voice, big personality, and just very respectful of others, neat guy. So after that, I went to say hi to a couple of people in the office that I hadn't seen in a million years, and just stopped in to thank Bob for the meeting. So I'm getting back to the believe and receive, attract, and allow. So, you know, I've been putting it out there. I'm ready to accept more orders. I'm ready to accept new customers. I'm ready to do whatever. And all I did was say, you know, hey, Bob, you know, just thanks again. And he'd referred somebody to me a few weeks ago, and when the customer booked, as really about 95% of the people that are referred to me do book, some don't, that's okay. I wrote him a note, and I just said, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I think you know more than anybody else. I really sincerely appreciate the referrals that you give to me, and I take them seriously, and I will treat your customers with the best respect and the best service I could possibly give them. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, just left it at that. So thank Bob for the meeting today. I'm getting ready to walk out the door, and he goes, hey. Yes, Mr. Hicks? And he says, how would you like to start carrying one of our cards for Unigroup Logistics? Well, you know, I'm part of the sales organization in a global sense, but, you know, I haven't really ever sold for Bob. I've been to meetings with him. I've been on sales calls with him. I've done marketing for them, but not, you know, done anything directly as, you know, as an agent for them, I should say. And he says, you know, would you be willing to carry a card for us? I said, holy cow, it would be an honor and privilege. And so we talked for about 2 seconds. So right before the show comes on tonight, we're going back and forth and exchanging a couple of emails and, you know, basically just getting the formalities taken care of. But I'm going to have a new contract so I can technically sell for Unigroup Logistics or TTL or Mayflower, but it's really Unigroup Logistics. So we're going to think big and, you know, not be thinking small fry anymore. And so anyhow, I'm going to have a bunch of folks that I'll get to call on. Folks, I'm so folksy. I'll have a bunch of businesses in the electronics arena, they say, people who make electronic equipment down here in the Huntington Beach area he wants me to call on. So we'll get those details worked out in the next few days. And so now I have another whole line of business and a great worldwide organization that I have at my disposal to help people. And when you walk into companies and say, you know what, you know, just because you're big doesn't mean you're expensive. You know, there's value, of course, to big. But I've got this whole resource and the world behind me that wants to see me be successful, will help me be successful, will help, you know, my clients have positive experiences, so on and so forth. So anyway, so that's 20 minutes of believe and receive and attract and allow. So I'm grateful for that. And, you know, cool things like that just continue to kind of fall into my world. I was sending an email back and forth with my vocal shaman, Bilson K. I played his song Rhinoplasty. I don't know. I've got to find out tomorrow because he just burned a bunch of music for me last week on a CD. He says, here you go, listen to this and let me know what you think. And one of his songs is called Rhinoplasty. You know, it's a parody song. Not of what? You know, it's not like, you know, Michael Jackson's Beat It with Weird Al's Eat It. It's not like that. It's just the song Rhinoplasty, and it's based about this girl he's dating that has a huge nose, and he's a plastic surgeon. hysterical song. But I'm sending him a note confirming for tomorrow. He's, you know, writing back. And again, believe and receive, attract and allow. And one of the things that I really wanted to do this last year was work on my singing voice because, you know, the first album was fun. It was great. Loved it, loved it, loved it. But at the end of the day, I don't have the best voice in the world. I had to be helped a lot with auto-tune. And, you know, the 400 takes to get, you know, the either the timing or the tone or the pitch or whatever close to being okay so my producer, Brian Pothier, could, you know, fudge with it a little bit. Well, you know, that's all wonderful. But if you actually could, you know, get trained a little bit, maybe sing on key a little bit, you know, something like that, all the more better. So Bill was introduced to me back in October. And so now I'm getting some vocal coaching and things like that, believe and receive, attract and allow. So my goal for 2014 is to work on my singing voice, work on my voiceover voice, so I'll have, you know, new opportunities to do that kind of stuff. Is that cool or what? So that's my little sermon or speech for the evening. You'll get off easy on that tonight. I'm going to play a song real quick. We'll be back and talk headlines of the day, but here's a little John Lennon for you. There's a little John Lennon for you. I'm getting all kinds of notes from people tonight saying they're having difficulty either hearing the connection, getting connected, staying connected, and any of that kind of stuff. So if you are having difficulty getting connected, you're not alone. Sorry about for any inconvenience. I know when I was dialing into my secret password number that I have programmed into my phone, it took about four or five different tries before it finally caught into the system. So, you know, Blog Talk's awesome. I love them. So if you're listening to me tonight, I'll give you a big smooch on the cheek here, Blog Talk Radio. But I will tell you, technologically, sometimes you got some issues. you know. But it's a good service, and so when it works, which is 99.5% of the time, you're great. But when you don't, you really stink. So if you're having difficulty tonight, I apologize. Make the best of it. You know, we'll be here for another half hour tonight, and we will talk to you about what's going on. I just saw this on Facebook earlier today, and I have not tried it out or tested or done any of this, but I'm interested to see if you have done this. If you have, send me a note on Facebook and tell me what your thoughts are, or call in. 323-657-1493, of course, is the hotline. So apparently, if you're on Facebook, a new video about your life went live online Tuesday. That is today. Have you seen your video yet? Do you know what your video says about you? Everybody is, and it looks like it's like Facebook.com/lookback, because I think my Facebook would actually yawn, because, you know, on my wall, you'll know. I mean, it's like, this is no big secret here. It says the year I was born, or just says where I was born, Salem, Oregon, and then it has an article by Jack Canfield on January 7th. On January 18th, it talks about my MTV artist page. January 26th, it talks about staying in touch with me on Twitter. February 1st, so this is all riveting stuff. February 1st, it talks about my music video, Eyes Wide, to reshare it. And then I've got a note from Carolee Merrill. Carolee's awesome. I love her. And she talks about elephants, an elephant's journey to pay respect. That's a video. I haven't watched it yet. That's why it's still on my page. Sometimes that's what it is. People post stuff or share stuff with me, and I want to see what's going on. I'll leave it on my Facebook page until I watch it or write it down or talk about it on the show like we're doing now, and then it disappears. And people say, I was trying to find this or I'm trying to find that. It's like, you got to keep up with the times, people. You know, it's catchy, catchy, catchy. I don't want to leave stuff on my wall and have it be there for 300 years. That's just like wall crap. So it's on the wall, and then it's off the wall, and it's gone. It's like a moment in time. So Carolee has something on there. And then I've got an event for Kelly Fitzgerald from yesterday. And then yesterday I also posted a song that my vocal shaman, Bill Sinkay, sings. And I call him my magician, Brian Pothier, my music producer, produced and played guitar on and did some other stuff. It's called One More Chance. And if you get a chance to go to my Facebook page and click on that, I love that song. Oh, my gosh. You play it, and it's like, oh, my. You play it here on the show for you. I would. I just don't have a way to download the song from SoundCloud, where the song is currently residing, into an MP3 and then play it here on the show. So I'm working on trying to make sure I get that from Bill emailed to me in some format so I can play it for you. Maybe even on the Friday night dance party. Hopefully I'll have it before then. And then I've got my last note, which is posted 2 hours ago. Note to self, believe and receive and attract and allow. That's it. That's my entire Facebook history. So I think if I do the Facebook thing and, you know, it creates the movie of my life on Facebook, I think there's going to be just either a scream by my wall to ask for a refund for this free service because it's so boring, or you're going to see a giant yawn go across the page because those are the only things I could think of. So I may play around with that and see how that goes. So if you've done it or are thinking about doing it and don't get a chance to talk tonight, send me a note in the next day or two and let me know what you think your Facebook look back looks like and if you're happy with it or if you hate it. I would love to hear from you. So tell me. I went back, and yesterday, it was the Super Bowl on Sunday, of course, 111 million, most watched TV event ever, ever, ever. And I had a great article about the top 3 million Super Bowl halftime shows. And, at the end of the day, I always delete my wall of news stories because if I don't, my computer decides it likes to crash, and it's just a big pain in the butt. And so long story short, it's just easier if I just kind of delete it. And if I happen to remember the news stuff from the previous day and it's still relevant, I'll talk about it. So that was kind of the case today because they had a really great list somewhere on the Internet. No, I have no idea where it is because I can't re-find the same article. But they had the 10 best Super Bowl halftime shows as ranked by Billboard magazine, and I thought that was a pretty good music authority to refer back to, so I thought I'd share these with you. If you have a favorite halftime on the Super Bowl show experience that you want to talk about, send me a note on Facebook or ping me on the chat room or call in. You can do it. Love to hear from you. But the number 10 Super Bowl halftime show starts out in 1993 with Mr. Michael Jackson says, eager to keep viewers glued to their televisions, the NFL whipped up the biggest freaking halftime show ever, starring Michael Jackson. The King of Pop whipped viewers into a frenzy with a lip-sync medley of Jam, Billie Jean, and Black or White. Michael then queued up a snippet of We Are the World as the crowd turned over cards revealing drawings by the children of Los Angeles. And just in case viewers missed his message of harmony, he concluded with Heal the World, which was surrounded by 3,500 youngsters as a blow-up globe deployed on the 50-yard line. That was in 1993. Do you even remember that? I don't remember that at all. A lot of these, I was like, where was I? You know, because there are a couple of them I totally remember, and some of these, no clue. And I've watched every single one. Number 9, Aerosmith, NSYNC, and Britney Spears in 2001. Through Steven Tyler's musical career, you know, it's been sidelined by a stream of band and personnel issues. He and Aerosmith were first-round picks back in 2001. Besides the show's hard rockin' headliners, the 2001 Epics halftime opened with NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye. The two bands traded songs and verses until the stage exploded with the addition of Britney Spears, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly for a show-stopping rendition of Walk This Way. I don't remember that. They do have musical clips of this. If you want to Google it or do your own internet search, I searched, you know, top halftime musical acts for the Super Bowl, and this is off of Billboard magazine, so if you like Billboard magazine, this will be real easy for you to get. Paul McCartney's in 2005. A purported safe choice by the NFL following the previous year's Nipplegate. McCartney signaled the transition from contemporary pop acts to older rock gods performing at halftime. Atop an X-shaped stage made of video projectors, the Beatle first warmed up with Drive My Car. He followed up with Get Back before trading his guitar for a piano during a fireworks-laden rendition of The Wings' Bond theme, Live and Let Die. Saving the best for last, McCartney signed off with Hey Jude, during which the 84,000 in attendance at Jacksonville's Altel Stadium all joined in for the iconic coda. And, of course, here's one I totally remember. And I was even watching this, and I'm like, oh, okay. I watched it happen. Didn't even think anything of it. That's how jaded I am, I guess. But Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake in 2004, it was the day that the phrase wardrobe malfunction entered the American vernacular. Debate about whether Justin Timberlake accidentally or quote-unquote, accidentally exposed Janet's little Jackson, has raged since that Houston halftime. FCC fines have been assessed, thrown out, and appealed in judicial court, and the court of popular opinion will be in session for years. But bedazzled breast or not, you have to admit that Janet and Justin put on a pretty kick-ass show. It's a shame that anyone remembers is the last 2 seconds. I watched it. And you know, it's funny because I was over at my dad's house, and one of the people there said, I think her boob just popped out, or, you know, something like that. And I'm like, oh, that just totally didn't happen. And then, of course, you see the pictures later on. I think it might have. Number 6 is Rolling Stones in 2006. And considering the fact that the veteran Brits are behind one of the best-known kickoff jams, Start Me Up, it was natural that the Rolling Stones featured the hit, which reached number 2 in the Hot 100 in 1981, during their 2006 halftime show. On a stage billed to look like the Stones' iconic Lips logo, Mick and his company's 12-minute set was rounded out by Rough Justice and the classic I Can't Get No Satisfaction. With the post-wardrobe malfunction halftime world, the NFL opted for a 5-second tape delay that allowed censors to mute part of Start Me Up and Rough Justice deemed too sexually explicit. I think if you're going to be watching a Super Bowl halftime show and you're worried about anything being sexually explicit, you need to turn the channel and go watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I'm just saying. Number 5 is Beyonce. After her silhouette was lit on fire, and this is 2013, so it was last year. After her silhouette was lit on fire, Beyonce emerged from a cloud of smoke with an inspired display of hits including Love on Top and Crazy in Love. And multimedia indulgence during her Super Bowl halftime show performance was fantastic. Before Destiny's Child long-rumored reunion commenced when Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams shut out from under the stage like Pistons to join Bay for Bootylicious, Independent Woman, and Single Ladies. During Beyonce's reign on the halftime stage, she was also backed by dozens of female dancers and band members, including a killer horn section and innovative animation screens with duplicate bays running wild. Now, here's the interesting thing that, you know, you heard from Kelly and Michelle before the Super Bowl. They're like, we are not going to be at the Super Bowl. We're not going to be at the Super Bowl. Of course, they were all spotted in, you know, New Orleans. And no, we're not going to be there. No, we're not going to be there. So when, of course, you know, they pop these two girls out of the stage, and it looked like they were both going, holy cow, I think we're just about ready to die. And everybody, of course, went nuts, but their mics were either turned down so low or not turned on at all that the only person you ever heard singing was Beyonce. And, of course, nobody ever talks about that anymore. They just say, oh, Destiny's Child was, you know, brought back together. Yeah. That was like saying, you know, NSYNC was brought back together at the MTV Music Video Awards with Justin Timberlake for the 32 seconds they were on stage doing a mashup of their hits, and that was the quote-unquote reunion? I don't think so. You know, let's sell some concert tickets and they'll go back on the road. Bruce Springsteen in 2009, in The Boss beckoned viewers to step away from the guar and put the chicken fingers down before proceeding to rock Tampa for the next 12 minutes. Though Bruce turned down several prior invitations to perform at the Super Bowl, he was proof that good things come to those who wait. The E Street Band rocked through a four-song set of crowd favorites, but the biggest hit came when the Jersey's Finest slammed into the TV camera with his crotch during 10th Avenue Freeze-Out. I don't remember that at all. I do remember Madonna in 2012. She was writing a huge buzz for her then-forthcoming album, MDNA, quasi-gladiatorial captain of a cheerleading squad that included LMFAO, Nicki Minaj, MIA, and CeeLo Green. Amid Roman soldiers, Madge entered the field on a golden throne to belt out longtime favorite Vogue before being joined by LMFAO for Party Rock Anthem and Sexy and I Know It. It's an infused hit take on her 2008 music. Sure, she slipped a little bit while dancing in those thigh-high heeled boots, but her Super Bowl gigs most talked about moment when MIA and Minaj joined her for her new single, Gimme Your Lovin'. It happened fast, but everyone watching at home certainly saw the MIA's mischievous middle finger. However, Madge's epic Like a Prayer finale, aided by CeeLo Green and large-robed chair, ensured that the 12-minute spectacular ended with the focus right back on her music. Now I'm going to the next two here. Depending upon which list you actually look at, are going to give you different answers. Because in several surveys that I looked at tonight before deciding on the one with Billboard, and I decided on the one with Billboard just because of the Billboard name, that was it. I flipped a coin and said, yeah, you're it. Had the number two act at number one and had the number one act at number two. But according to Billboard, the number two act of all time for all Super Bowls, U2. Less than 5 months after the tragedies of September 11th, U2 brought the heart-shaped stage from their Elevation tour to the Gridiron. The band kicked a beautiful day, but it was their 9/11 tribute that captured the most attention. As they played Where the Streets Have No Name, a scrolling backdrop featured the names of all of the victims who perished in the attacks, and Bono finished the song by opening his jacket to reveal the stars and stripes in its lining. I don't remember that one either. And finally, this one I do remember. It was brilliant, fantastic. Prince in 2007. This is your number one halftime show of all time, and I kind of agree. Long known for erotically charged performances, Prince was a curious halftime choice only 3 years post-Nipplegate. While he did weird that purple, unpronounceable, simple-shaped guitar in an unabashedly phallic way, the ecstatic genius of Prince's performance was the way he actually played the instrument. The rocker powered through his classics 1999, Let's Go Crazy, and the classics of others, Proud Mary, All Along the Watchtower, but the explosive coda was Purple Rain, which had the stadium full of testosterone-pumped football fanatics waving their arms in the howling falsetto. So Prince was the number one halftime show of all time. If you have a different one or want to talk about a different one, ping me, send me a note, do something like that. But with that, let's play Prince. Let's commemorate his appearance on the halftime show in 2007. Here you go, Little Purple Rain. Purple rain, purple rain.
up, but you can't seem to make up your mind. I think you better close it. Let me guide you.
So who doesn't like a little Purple Rain? So there you go. That was Prince's Purple Rain in celebration of his performance at the Super Bowl. So did you hear about the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Flea explaining his band's miming at the Super Bowl? Well, it's true. This is reported by Corey Groh with Rolling Stone 3 hours ago. Rolling Stone's reporting that Red Hot Chili Peppers' bassist Flea has issued an explanation. That seems to be everybody's popular thing to do today. You know, for anything. I looked at somebody the wrong way, I need to issue an explanation for why it looked like his bass wasn't plugged in during the Super Bowl halftime show. Here's why. It wasn't. Photos hit the internet yesterday on Vulture showing that the bassist's instrument was not connected to his amp during the group's performance of their song, Give It Away. No, he performed that yesterday, or Sunday, with main halftime performer Bruno Mars. Today, Flea published a 931-word open letter said that he'd chosen to do that on purpose. Here you go. Here's what he said. Flea says, when we were asked by the NFL and Bruno to play our song Give It Away at the Super Bowl, it was made clear to us that the vocals would be live. Of course they're going to say that. But the bass, drums, and guitar would be pre-recorded, he wrote. I understand the NFL's stance on this, given they only have a few minutes to set up the stage. There's a zillion things that could go wrong and ruin the sound for the folks watching in the stadium and the TV viewers. There is not any room for argument on this. The NFL does not want to risk their show being botched by bad sound, period. Peppers would not do, quote, any sort of miming, end quote, since they were thrown off the UK show Top of the Pops in the late 80s because, as Flea wrote, I played bass with my shoe. He said that the times the group mimed song for MTV was always a drag and that the group takes its playing seriously. It's a sacred thing for us, and anyone who has ever seen us in concert, like the night before the Super Bowl at the Barclays Center, knows that we play from our heart, we improvise spontaneously, take musical risks, and sweat blood at every show. The band ultimately chose to go ahead with Super Bowl miming after soul-searching, conferring with friends, and embracing that they all love football too. So the group recorded the version of the track to play with Mars. I'm surprised they didn't consult with their religious leaders, or the ACLU, or the NAACP, or ABCDEFG. For the actual performance, Josh Klinghoffer, he plays guitar, Chad Smith on drums, and I were playing along with pre-recorded tracks, so there was no need to plug in our guitars, so we did not. Could we have plugged them in and avoided bumming people out who have expressed disappointment that the instrumental track was pre-recorded? Of course, easily we could have done this, and it would be a non-issue. We thought it better not to pretend. It seemed like the realest thing to do in the circumstance. It was like making a music video in front of a gazillion people, except with live vocals. Only one chance to rock it. Our only thought was to bring the spirit of who we are to the people. He closed the letter by expressing gratitude to the NFL, apparently his check cleared, and to Mars for the opportunity. Nevertheless, he wrote, I would do it all again the same way. Who wants to see live stuff? You know, and you go back to people like, well, I'm going to pick on Britney Spears for a second because there's no picking on her. I celebrate her and I think what she does is great. So Britney Spears is not a singer. She's a recording artist. There's a difference. Singers go out and sing songs, and they can, you know, they can be Aretha Franklin, they can be Etta James, they can be, you know, they're singers. They go out and sing. People like Britney Spears are entertainers. Britney can get a song, you know, manufactured in the studio as well as anybody. You know, you take Work Bitch that had, you know, like 75 writers on a song that had 10 words in it. Explain that one to me. But it was a catchy song. It was great in the dance clubs and, you know, a great music video. And, you know, good for her. But when you go to see Britney Spears perform, you don't want to hear Britney Spears sing because she's dancing around, she's doing acrobatics, she is performing a fantastic show for you, and if she had to actually sing while doing all of that, she'd sound like shit. And so when people are paying, you know, $250 a ticket in Las Vegas to go see her do her act for, you know, the next couple of years, they don't want to see her huffing and puffing and trying to sing, you know, You Drive Me Crazy One More Time. You know, nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear the song the way it sounded on the radio or the way it sounded on their CD, and they want to see her dancing around on the stage. So at the Super Bowl, prime example, any kind of crap about the fact that, you know, some editorial liberties must be taken to make sure that we get everybody on the stage on time, you get off on time, and we've got 12 minutes to get this all done, and there's not room for error. And so you're not going to say, okay, well, that would be nice. Let's, you know, let's get the guitar players up there and let's do a sound check. You know, I know that we've only got 12 minutes to do this, but we need to do our 8-minute sound check. And, no, we got to get it tuned up. We got to do this. We got to do that. No, that doesn't sound right. We just can't perform the song unless it's 100% perfect. what makes sense, doing that or you pre-record the track like they've done and put on a great show. Remember when Whitney Houston did the Star Spangled Banner years ago? And she performed the song. She sang it before the performance, though, you know, so the studios could have a live, you know, broadcast, have her singing the song. So you go out there, and it looks like she's singing the song. She does a great job. She lip-synced beautifully. But as we all know, she sang the song beforehand. And it wasn't until afterwards somebody brought that up that everybody started giving her a rash of shit over the fact that she didn't sing it live. Do you remember back when Aretha Franklin sang America the Beautiful or God Bless America at one of the basketball games and it was not pre-recorded and how horrible it sounded and everybody was giving her such a horrible, horrible time over singing the song live? This is why they do it ahead of time, folks. You know, Christina Aguilera is another one. Beautiful singer, gorgeous voice. And she forgets one tiny little song because of whatever, you know, lyric to the song, and everybody gives her a ton of crap over it. I think it's a great thing that the people, you know, are planning ahead saying, okay, we're going to give these people a good show, and that means that, you know, you go out there and pretend that you're playing, but for this, you know, for Super Bowl, you're going to actually, you know, you're going to kind of be karaoke playing guitar, air guitaring it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. So there you go. Let's wrap up the show with some celebrity birthdays. Speaking of people in music and entertainment, we've got a couple of fantastic people, including Mr. Alice Cooper, who is 66 today. He's a shock rock singer who released the hit Schools Out at 18 and who gained fame for the album Billion Dollar Babies in 1973. Before he was famous, he was raised by a preacher in the Bickertonite Church. I've never heard of that. And declined his college acceptance letters to pursue a career in music. He popularized heavy metal music with stage antics and props and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2011. And he was nominated for a Grammy Award for Hands of Death, Burn Baby Burn, in 1997. After getting sober in 1980, he became a born-again Christian. He got married to Cheryl Cooper on March 3, 1976, and they have three children together, Calico, Dash, and Sonora Rose. I also sat next to Alice Cooper and talked to him at a Phoenix Coyote ice hockey game probably about 4 years ago or so. We were doing the sponsorship for the Phoenix Coyotes. We were doing moving for their players and coaches and stuff like that. And in one of the pre-sponsorship opportunities, they had us in the president's suite. And who comes in and sits down right next to me but Mr. Alice Cooper, and you're going, does he know that he's Alice Cooper? He's sitting like right next to me, and he's talking to me like a regular person. Craziest thing in the world. I think the guy soaking wet probably weighed about 126 pounds. I kept going, I think he needs a cheeseburger. But super nice guy, at least in my, you know, half an hour getting to sit next to the man. So there you go. Singer Gavin DeGraw, he's 37 today. He's an American singer and songwriter who recorded the One Tree Hill theme song, I Don't Want to Be. I don't know if I've ever heard his music, but he's 37. Happy birthday, Gavin DeGraw. Kimberly Wyatt, she is a singer also, 32. Former member of the Pussycat Dolls, who formed a new group called Her Majesty and the Wolves in 2010, and we've never heard from them ever. So happy birthday, Kimberly Wyatt, who's 32 today. Let's see, Clint Black, also in music, country singer, 52 years old, legendary country singer who is known for his debut album, Killin' Time, which featured hits like A Better Man. He later started the album label Equity Music Group. He learned how to play the harmonica before he was 13. He supported himself as a bait cutter while he sang in lounges trying to make it in country music. That shows real love. There you go. He married Lisa Hartman in 1991, and they have a daughter together named Lily. Remember Lisa Hartman? She was she played two characters on Knots Landing. They killed her off, and then her character is so popular they had to bring her back as like a twin or a lookalike or something. That was always fun. Anyway, so they've been married for 100 years now. And he was rewarded as the fourth country music singer to earn a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And country's singer Vince Gill, he's also got a star. But today is Clint Black's 52nd birthday. So happy birthday, Clint Black. And one more for the day. Let's see, who else do we have here? Let's see, more singers. Natalie Imbruglia today is 39. She's Australian, and she rose to prominence with her hit song, Torn. She's acted in commercials for Coca-Cola and Twisties before dropping out of high school at the age of 16. That's before she was famous. And trivia fact, her first performance was on the soap opera Neighbors as Beth Brennan. She married Daniel Johns, the lead singer for Silverchair, in December of 2003. They filed for a divorce in 2008. And she's also starred in the film Johnny English with Rowan Atkinson. So happy 39th birthday to Natalie Imbruglia. That's it for the news. I don't think I was going to read an article or go through how heroin technically kills you and go through box office results, but unfortunately we're out of time. So we will have none of that tonight, but we will be back live Wednesday night with headlines, surprises, guests, calls, all kinds of stuff. Also, if you get a chance to go and take a look at Aaron Marciniak's Facebook fan page, he is looking for your kind support for his Indiegogo campaign. And let me go see if I can find it real quick so I can say that I mentioned it on the show. It's Informal Approach, and they are looking to raise $2,000 to help complete filming for this independent film. So if you have a chance to do that, Informal Approach, round two, it's on Indiegogo, and you can go and support the film there. They have 3 days left, so it looks like that will probably run through Friday. Maybe it's through Thursday night or something like that. So there's a couple of days left. So you get a chance to support that. I hope you are able to do that as well. And we'll leave you with a little more for Andrea True Connection. We'll see you live on Wednesday night.
Listening to Rated G Radio.